How's that? There you go. Well, I'm not going to repeat everything I said. Okay. Thank you, Josh. The summary is what we're going to do now is spend a little bit of time doing some review so that when you are into the everydays of life, tonight at 9 o'clock and tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and Thursday at 7 o'clock at night, and next Saturday morning at 11, and so on, that you are able to be someone who's doing in light of the things that God has been speaking to you this weekend. You know, on a personal basis, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here, and thank you for being part of the Navigators. Some of you may have a sense, oh, you know, at your campus there's, you know, this group of Navigators, and you came here and realized, wow, there's a bit more going on than just at your campus, just in your sphere of friends. I thought it might interest you to know that, you know, the Navigators is a worldwide organization and really a worldwide group of friends, and we have ministries in over 120 different countries around the world, and there are gatherings like this that happen all the time. And gatherings that happen just like what happens in your dorm room or in your apartment all over the world. Might also interest you to know that right around 80 different nationalities are on the staff of the Navigators. And a number of those are serving in other countries. And I find that personally encouraging. In the United States, I think it could encourage you to know that we have ministries on about 130 campuses. And there are 83 campuses that are pretty well established and led by Navigator staff, and another 50 or so that are led by volunteers, people like some of you, and professors, and people that just happen to live near a school, or recent graduates who moved near a school and say, hey, I'd like to start something here. And we have a whole group of people that are committed to helping those volunteer leaders succeed in the ministries they're leading. One thing that's common about all these ministries I'm talking about to you around the world is that we share a common calling, and that calling is that we want to be men and women called the Navigators who are about this. We want to be about advancing the gospel and kingdom of Jesus into the nations through spiritual generations of men and women, of laborers, who know how to live and know how to labor among people who don't know Christ. And you should know that we kind of have an agenda for your lives. And our agenda is that you would be real people who really do know how to have that real relationship with God wherever you are, whatever you're doing for the rest of your lives. That you would have the vision, the passion, and the skill to walk with God all the days of your life wherever you go. Whether you're a homemaker or a U.S. senator, whether you're living in Kuwait or in Africa, or New York City, or L.A., or back home on the farm, that you'd know how to walk with God right there all the time, all the days of your life. And beyond that, we pray that in the Navigators, that the people that have been part of the Navigators and that are part of us, that you would be people who have the vision, passion, and skill to live among people who need Jesus and to help those people move towards Him in real, normal, non-religious weirdo ways. That's our passion for you. So hopefully that's attractive to you, because our agenda for you is that you would become those type of people, that type of people. And that's why we're here today. And that's been the theme of this conference. Let's take some time and review what we've been about. The real you. Again, what we've been wanting is for you to be growing and becoming a person who has a real relationship with the real God without becoming a religious weirdo. Now, when I say that, I'm not casting judgment on anybody else. But that you'd be a person who walks with God so closely that you know how to walk with God at the bar. You know how to walk with God in the neighborhood. You know how to reach out to the person in the cubicle next to you 5 years from now and not turn her off or turn him off in the process, but draw them to the everlasting God. To be real enough so people can say, wow, when I'm with you, you're just kind of normal, but I see that you have this faith in God that's real, and I'd like some of that too. That's what we've been about this weekend. Now, you know, again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I want to remind you of one of the very first things I shared with you on Friday night. And what I've reminded you of each message is that you would be people, men and women, who would be listening to God this weekend. Listening to the things that He has to say to you. And I've been praying that you've been asking the question, Lord, what are You saying to me? And of course, what comes from that would be, Lord, in light of what You've been saying to me, what is it that You'd have me do? Now, just to review quickly, Friday night, we talked about probably a key verse would be Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that was for my story. I encourage you to listen to God, shared about some lies in the context of my story, asked you to ponder some of your lies in the context of your story. I shared about my new start, and I asked you to make some new starts. And hopefully some of you have been doing that this weekend, and if not, you'll have a chance to do that here shortly. Then yesterday morning, we talked about your identity, my identity and yours, our past, our present, and our future. And where we landed, really from Matthew 28:20, the promise that Jesus made at the end of that, I am with you always. You know, there's a scripture that says the rain falls on the righteous and on the unrighteous. You know, life is going to happen to you and everyone you know. And sometimes it's going to be wonderful and sometimes it's going to hurt a little. The good news for followers of Jesus is that no matter what, Jesus is always, always with you. That's good news for us. And in your identity, I reminded you that you are alive in Christ, not because of what you've done, but because God has declared you that way. And we talked about your past, that no matter what you've done, that when you were at your very, very worst, that's when God loved you. That's when He reached out to you. Because of that, you don't have to lead a life that's full of shame, feeling bad about who you are. And you don't have to lead a life of guilt, feeling bad about what you've done. And beyond that, you don't need to embrace a life of sorrow, feeling bad about the things that have come your way. No. He's with you. And the blood of Jesus has washed you clean. And when the Father in heaven looks at you and relates to you, He relates to you through what Jesus has done for you, not through how hard you've tried, or how well you've done, or how much you've failed. You can live a life free of guilt and shame. And this is your identity. And your present, we talked about how you can be satisfied with Christ in the right nows of life. And He meets your deepest needs. And as He meets your deepest needs, and as you learn how to have Him do that and ask Him to do that in your life, you'll be set free to be someone who's not a relational leech onto other people, but someone who's free to be a blessing and an encouragement to others, and who has something to give instead of always seeking to get. This will help you down the road in your marriages, your friendships, as a parent, maybe one day as a grandparent, many of you. And then finally, again, your future. You know, the real truth about the real you is that your Father in heaven and Jesus your Savior has a wonderful plan for you. And He wants to bring good to you. He's going to walk with you all the days of your life. He has good things in store for you. He's promised to lead you, promised to never, ever forsake you. So that was yesterday morning. And then last night, we talked about a life that was full of meaning and a life full of integrity and blessing. A full life. A life of paying the cost to follow Jesus. And a life of living by God's priorities. You know, John 10:10. Was a verse that I introduced that talk with, that the thief comes only to kill and destroy. But then Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He wants you to have a very full life, not measured by the amount of things you gather over the years, or the number of initials you can put after your name, or the number of people who you can invite to your wedding, or the big events and the number of people in your address book. No, none of that. Now, those things would be nice if they'd come to you, but we won't demand them, will we? We'll receive them as gifts, not demand them as rights. Because a full life, we know, is not measured by any of those things. A full life is measured by being this light bulb that's attached to the power source, fulfilling our purpose in life. And as you fulfill your purpose in life, life takes on a fullness and an added dimension that you can't get from anywhere but your relationship with God. And then last night as well, I share three questions with you that are questions you'd find in my journals over the years and in my answers. And the questions were, how can I know you, Lord? How can I bring you glory? How can I accomplish your work? And then I suggested to you that, boy, you asked that question, how can you know him? We need to pursue your relationship with him. Don't expect it just to happen. You need to work at having a relationship with him, and he wants that for you. He wants to help you do that. And how can you bring him glory? Well, you need to love Jesus more. Quiz time. More than three things. Do you remember what they are? More than others, more than self, more than stuff. Yeah, pretty simple. And then, how can I accomplish your will? And I encourage you to be part of what God is doing on the earth and in this day, in this age, and that you have a destiny as children of the living God to live by His priorities. Do you remember what God's heartbeat sounds like? People, people, people. Yeah. To make people, to make others, to make Jesus and to make others what drives your life. With a heart for the nations, to see this good news of Jesus our Savior and our loving Father spread to the corners of the earth. Well, what I've just done for you is I could have done on Friday night and said, thanks, I'm going to go home now. We fleshed it all out a bit through the course of the weekend. And I made a point, just so you know, I made a point of sharing some of my stories, okay? And, you know, they're all true. They were real. And, you know, you have stories too. And it will be good for you over the next weeks and months to be asking and thinking, what are my stories of God at work in my life? And you know what's interesting is when they happen to me, they're not a story. It's just what's happening. It's later on that I realize, okay, this is something that God is doing in me, something He's teaching me. And then I've taken that to the Word and said, Lord, help me learn more about this. And He has. And that's what I've shared with you. So what I've been sharing with you really has been my journey, things I've learned from my journey. And I'm asking you to come into that journey for yourself and to journey with Christ yourselves for the next months and years and decades and, to be honest, for the next half century or so. I think He'd be pleased to have you do that. Well, I would like for you and for me, I'd like for us to be Christ followers, people who follow Jesus, in such a way so that we reap what God has sown in our hearts. And I'm going to set you up now for a time of personal reflection, a time so that you can be a Christ follower who reaps what God has sown in your heart and mind this weekend. So I'm just going to talk it through. And if you look on your red piece of paper, if you have that there, somewhere on there you'll see the words R-E-A-P-S. And you could jot this down on there if you want. Reaps. R. Just review your notes and your thoughts. Take some time and just kind of quietly look. If you took notes, look through your notes. If you underlined a verse in the Bible somewhere, look at that. Or just kind of think through. And I've tried to help you do that again, just to jog your memory. Friday night. Maybe through the messages. Maybe through your workshops. Maybe through a quiet time with a friend of yours. Maybe through that walk you took in the rain yesterday. Maybe just a conversation over a meal. Review the things that really kind of grabbed your heart and stood out to you in your mind. And then after you do that, you begin the process of evaluating. E, evaluate. What do you think God has been saying to you? For me, often what it is there's just one thing that's just reached out and grabbed me. Sometimes what it is wow, it came up here and it came up there and it came up here and it came up there. I think maybe there's a pattern here, Lord. And then I kind of evaluate what that pattern is, the thing that's sticking out to me. So you've reviewed your notes and thoughts and feelings. You've evaluated, asked the question, Lord, what are you saying to me here? And then you kind of land on it. Here's what I think he's been saying. I think God has been asking me to do this, to become his child, to have a real quiet time, to go to the nations, to love my parents, to be in the Word, whatever the specific thing is for you. And then you just apply it. Apply what he said to your life. You figure out what you'll actually do. Well, God's been talking to me about this. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do. And do you remember Luke 11, 27 and 28 from last night? Blessed is the woman who gave you birth and whose breasts you nursed. Jesus said, no. No, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So this is a chance to take a concept into reality. In light of what he said to you, what will you do? Not just what will you think, but what will you do? And mind this, not what will you do next week. Not will you do once I get married. What will you do once I graduate? No. What will you do today? What will you do tomorrow? How will your life change because of what Jesus spoke to you? And then finally, or not finally, but next P, you pray. You pray over what you've reflected upon, what you've evaluated, and what you've applied, and then you just pray and commit it to God and ask Him to help you. And then, and I think this is pretty important, S, the reaps. You take some time to share. I say that sounds kind of odd maybe, but share with yourself and then share with others. And we'll actually have some time this morning before you leave when you'll break in, the MCs will break you into small groups and you'll have a chance to share with people from your campus your reaps and the application and the things that God has talked to you about. What's healthy about that is when you're sharing, if everyone's kind of going, huh? Well, it helps to have to run it through the grid of other people. And then if when you share it with other people, I'll say, yeah, we think that's a good thing for you to do. Then there's some confirmation there. Now, let me tell you what I mean when I say share it with yourself. I've developed the habit over the years. You know, I have a really big, fancy black Bible, but I just keep using this one. And I have about three like this. And one reason why I do is because I just write all over it. And I meant to bring one of my older Bibles. This is a new one. But if you would see, remember I shared with you about Matthew 10, 24 and 25, my senior year? And so God asked me, Mike, is it enough for me to, enough for you to be like me? Well, if you were to take that Bible and look in Matthew 10, 24 and 25, you'd see it circled. And you'd see a date, May 5, 1978. And see, Lord, I want you to know it's enough for me to be like you. Decided, committed to it. May 5, 1978. Wright Hall, Normal, Illinois. It's a marker on my journey. You know, one thing you notice in the Word is that often God asks people to make markers, to mark significant events in their journey. So you put a pile of stones here to mark what happened. You build a monument here to mark this significant time when God spoke, when God acted. And what I'd like to ask you to consider is to mark and say to yourself what God has talked to you about. And find your verse, find one verse that really grabs you. Say, okay, this is my verse for the weekend, wherever it came from. And circle it, underline it if you want, and then in the margin somewhere, write, you know, this weekend, February 20th, is it? God spoke to me about this. Lord, help me do this. And then sign your name. And then for years to come, that can be a marker on your journey. All right? So now, what we're going to do is we're going to have some reaps. So, and what I'd like to ask you to do is right where you are, and you can spread out and sit on the floor or come up here if you want, but we'll take a chunk of minutes and give you some time to really process. And then after that, the MCs will come together and ask you to get in small groups just to take some time to share with one another. So let me pray for you, and then I'd like to ask you, can right where you are or spread out a bit just to do that. Father, thanks so much for this weekend. Thanks for these men and women. Thanks that you've been with us. Thank you that you've had things to say to us. Thank you that you're big enough to help us hear the things we need to hear. Lord, would you help each one now to process through and think through what you've been talking to them about so that it can be something that affects their day-to-day life and not just something that stays here this weekend. Would you help them, Lord? And Father, I commit every one of these precious men and women to you. And I pray that you would love them, guard them, bless them. I pray that you'd use them. I pray that there'd be other people who have hope in their hearts and life in you because of the men and women in this room. And I pray that the gospel of Jesus would be spread to the nations through the men and women in this room. And I pray mostly that right now you would be helping these men and women know what their next steps should be in their relationship with you. And we pray this because Jesus has said we can on the basis of his blood that's made us right in your eyes. Amen.